Ben McDonald, Joe Angel, and now Brady Anderson back at Oriole Park. Oriole's tied up in the bottom of the first inning, now 1-1. Hey,
all right, you got a 1-1 game as we head to the top of the second inning. Brady Anderson is in the booth. This is the 25th anniversary weekend. The Home Run Derby is now history. Brady, congratulations on a hard-fought win.
Am I allowed to talk now, Joe?
Yes, you are.
Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Very nerve-wracking. Just like felt like a real Home Run Derby to me, even though the stakes weren't as high. But I'm not sure how I could be the favorite against Sam Horn, but as Ben said, maybe he hasn't done a lot in the last 10 years. He looked fine to me. He didn't look that much different than when I played with him.
No, he wasn't that much different. No,
he hit
wasn't.
Two bombs.
He did.
Big bombs.
Yeah, well, he's a big man.
Yeah, people forget how hard he could hit a ball.
Yeah.
And Valbuena swings and misses. So they count nothing and two here in the second inning. Well, see, as Ben indicated, Sam Horn, his physical experiences lately have not been all that frequent.
No. No.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that. Maybe his diet has increased or stayed the same. It's hard to say.
High fly ball, deep center. Adam Jones is racing back. He's at the wall. He's going to jump up. And did he catch it?
He did not.
He did not catch it. Sometimes Adam likes to play games a little bit. He did not catch it. That ball gets out.
Well, that was so close. Adam timed it up perfectly and leaped. But Valbuena gets too much of that one. And boy,
that's the ball you dream about right there, huh?
Yeah, that ball. Yeah, that is. That's,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
The kind you guys
it's
really
very,
work
it's
for.
It's like so close to being one of the greatest catches you can ever make. It was probably about 6 inches too far.
Mm-hmm.
He had it sized up perfectly. Let me see that. Oh, so close.
Yeah, perfect timing, but just out of the reach. Boy, the ball continues to fly out of Oriole Park. 10 homers last night, 2 already tonight.
And now here's C.J. Krohn. Talk about the Home Run Derby and somebody hits one out. Next pitch is inside to C.J. Krohn. Now, Brady, in the Home Run Derby, how many balls actually left the ballpark? Because they had that orange rope out there.
Yeah, I hit one the first round. They had point system or something. I don't remember how many I had, but one the first round. I didn't think I had any the second round.
Was it really nerve-wracking for you?
Yeah.
It was. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, come on. You're out in front of a lot of people. I'm not taking BP. You want to win. You want to perform well. If you're playing in a golf tournament, you get a little nervous, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially you because you play for money.
Yeah, that's right. There's a little pop-up.
Cheat on your handicap.
Coming on is Smith. He'll get there to make the catch. And so, Krohn, who told you?
Everybody told me. Who didn't tell me?
That's why I've not played against him yet.
And so, now here's Maldonado. You know, tell us about the weekend, Brady.
What about it?
Tell us about the weekend. You having fun? 25th anniversary?
It's great.
All your old buddies
getting
there?
The time goes so quickly. It's always good to see Ben, although Ben's one of the few that I've seen a lot in the last, 5 years. And he's also one of the few that looks exactly the same. Tim Hewlett looks the same, too. Tim Hewlett looked 40 when he was 20.
You're
and he
right.
looks 40 when he's 50.
I agree.
Right?
I agree with that.
There's Maldonado. He takes a fastball for a call strike.
Am I allowed to talk again, Joe?
Absolutely. Just fire away. Just every once in a while, I'm going to interrupt you. It's radio, Brady. So you got to tell people what's going on here. Oh, one delivery, swing and a miss. Go ahead, Brady.
No, I'm good.
You having fun?
Having a great time. Like I said, the Derby was fun. It was nerve-wracking. It's something I thought about a lot. I only found out a few days ago. My daughter told me, actually. She said, you got to win, Dad. Win what?
The Home Run Derby.
And the 0-2 pitch. Look at it. Almost hits him. Has anybody in that 1992 team surprised you the way they look now as opposed to then that maybe you haven't seen in a while? Anybody put on a lot of weight?
We don't want to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about it. Come on.
No, everybody really, to me, looks.
They look pretty much the same.
Yeah, they look the same. It's just hard. That rolls off my tongue, 25. I can't believe it's been 25 years. It just doesn't seem like that.
It definitely does not seem like a few years ago, but it does not seem like 25 years ago.
No, a quarter of a century. Are you kidding me?
And when you're coming back in the park, looks so familiar, and the years just kind of roll by.
That's the amazing part about Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and that is the celebration, 25th anniversary.
I'll definitely be a favorite in the 50-year anniversary, though. That's my goal.
Hey, we look forward to that. But it's an amazing park. It's a foul ball. I mean, when they put Camden Yards in here, it was brand new. It smelled great. It was shiny, hadn't been used. And yet, it felt like it'd been here about 40 years.
Yeah.
The way it blended in with the entire neighborhood. Well, the umpire got that foul ball, didn't he?
Yeah, a little foul tip.
Well, Brady, a little color here. What happened?
I don't know. I was listening to you, Joe.
A little fastball up and in, foul away, and that got the umpire.
Might have got him
head
in the neck.
On.
Let's see.
Tom Hallion is the home plate umpire.
He's not going to make it. You can tell right now he's going to have to come out.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. Brian Ebel's having a look. He's giving him the eye test.
Let's see where he got it.
Yeah.
Top of the head. Yep. Oh, and he got the looks like he got hit by the bat.
Oh.
Ball and bat.
Yeah, you're right. Double whammy. Wow.
It looks like the bat's the one that hurt him.
Well, let's hope he's okay. He's talking nicely now.
How do you know? You can't hear him.
What if his mouth is moving?
You don't know what he's saying.
He does look a little dazed. Well, we hope he's okay.
I think he's going to stay in.
Stay.
I wish they'd show it again. I think he got hit twice.
Well, I know the foul ball got him on the forehead. And then maybe the bat on the follow-through. Right? Take another look here. There's the ball.
That one?
No.
I couldn't tell. No. Yeah,
I don't think so.
It was just the ball.
Just the ball. But, boy, right at the top, kind of jarred his head back a little
bit. He's coming out.
Yeah, Brady, I think you're right, Brady. Brian Ebel is going to take him off the field here.
Hey, fans, after tomorrow's home game versus the Angels, it's time for Kids Run the Bases, presented by Wise Markets. Watch the kids' big league dreams come true as all fans ages 4 to 14 can run the Oriole Park bases just like their favorite birds. For tickets, visit Orioles.com or call 888-848-BIRD.
Joe Angel, Ben McDonald, and I, Brady Anderson. Brady, tell us about the ball club. You're very close to the ball club. You're up there in the front office. You work closely with the general manager and with Buck Showalter. You know exactly what's going on. What is your gut feeling about this ball club? Do they make the playoffs?
Well, of course, I'm going to say yes. You know, the one thing
since
the wild card, the team in 1992, we finished with 89 games. We almost won 90 games, and I never really had the sense after the All-Star break that we were in it. You know, I look back and I go, wow, that team won 89 games because there's no wild card. Conversely, in 96, we were struggling, but at the time of the trading deadline when we almost traded Benia and Wells, we were only 5 games back, and it was still so new, the wild card idea, that people weren't saying, well, if you're 5 games out of first place, you're not going to throw in the season. But because it was the wild card, they weren't taking it as serious as they should. Now, even though we're under 500, as of before yesterday, we were 3 games back, so I don't know what we are in the second wild card now. 2 games back?
Yep.
I mean, that's like the same as being 2 games out of first place. So you're right in the mix. There's no reason to – I thought we did great at the trading deadline by not giving away our best players. It was too early. We still have control over Britton and O'Day and Brock for next year. So there's a trading deadline next year. I never understood the panic that goes on the last 2 days. And the best teams in baseball weren't willing to give up their top prospects. Matter of fact, they said as much. We're not giving up our best prospects. All right, well, you don't get Zach Britton if you don't give us your very best prospect.
I know Rick Sutcliffe made the statement yesterday, and I know Ben agrees. He said the one thing he saw at the trade deadline was when the Orioles kept Zach Britton. That told him that the Orioles were going to stay in this thing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you got a guy like that to back into your bullpen to go along with what you already have in that bullpen. It's special. And I know if I was a starting pitcher, man, if you could just take a lead through 6 innings and give it to that bullpen down there, it's a special bullpen. And there's not many as good as that one down there. So the fact that Britton got healthy, first of all, he stayed here. And, man, it gives the Orioles a chance. And I love offensively what they're doing. I mean, it's strong. The top 5 right now are swinging as good as anybody. If all of a sudden Trumbo starts to kind of get a little more consistent, Chris Davis gets a little bit more consistent in this lineup, look. And of course, the starting pitching still at times, it's shown itself to be good, but it's still got to get a little bit more consistent. But look, I'm with Brady on that. 2 games out with this much baseball left to play and all these home games here coming up in a row, you know, you're going on a road for 3 and you're back at it again. I think this is the time the Orioles really going to get right back in this thing.
And, hey, how about the move, Brady, that was made? Tim Beckham coming over.
Probably one of the best move.
There you go.
Leadoff hitter right now, hitting over 300. But, again, like Ben was talking about, because that's the strength of our team, everybody wanted a bullpen. So essentially what you're doing is breaking up the very best part of our team, the most reliable part of our team. And again, it's because our team's under 500 is irrelevant. It's how many games back are you in the playoff hunt?
Well, we're waiting for the new home plate umpire to emerge. He's down below, putting down the equipment. So I would imagine that we're going to work the rest of this game with a 3-man umpiring crew. We're in the top of the second inning. The Angels have taken a 2-1 lead and a couple of home runs. Mike Trout with a solo in the first inning, and then Valbuena with a solo against Kevin Gausman in the second inning. A little more about Tim Beckham, Brady, because you were involved in that deal. Dan Duquette You guys pulled the trigger. Tell us about, give us the chronology of that move.
Well, you got to give Dan the credit for that one. Dan was the one who targeted him from the beginning. For whatever reason, you get a guy like this and you see him and you talk to him. And I talked to a few players or a few people that I knew from the Rays who weren't working there anymore. And they said he's a class guy, class act. Teammates love him. So there was always, I was curious why they were willing to give him up. I guess they didn't have playing time. They got another shortstop. So his time was limited. And I think he was disgruntled by that. And, you know, this is a real talent. A first round pick. Guy who didn't start playing baseball till 10 or 11 or 12, I think. So we might have stole one there.
So the fact that he began at 10 or 11 or 12, you think he's like a late bloomer?
He could be. Well, it's hard to say he's a late bloomer because he was a first-round pick.
Exactly.
So at one point he bloomed, and it was pretty early. It must have been before the draft. So it's just that, you know, I don't like giving away young pitching. We've given away quite a bit. We've been hurt by that quite a bit. But he's already contributed in a way that has already justified this trade, and we have him for several years.
Let me ask you a question, too. When a draft comes along every year, are you guys drafting to what your needs are in some cases, or are you kind of drafting to what the best available players are out there right now? Is there a little bit of both? Is there a lot of thought process that goes into that?
So I can't tell you with real expertise on that. I'm not completely involved in the draft, not even moderately involved. My duties are elsewhere. I have been in the draft room. I have talked to our scouting director and Dan about certain people, but I believe our philosophy is generally, and I believe it should be, I think you should go after the best players in the draft, particularly, in my opinion, the best pitchers in the draft, because you have to develop pitching. You can't go out. Teams aren't giving pitchers away, and by the time they're free agent, they're too expensive.
Let me ask you this, too. Pitching, since we're talking about it, what amazes me when I come back every year, 95 miles an hour used to mean something back when we were playing. Now, let me ask you, 25 years ago.
I'm dying to answer this question.
It was a handful of guys that could actually generate a real 95. Now, I come back to the ballpark, and I did a game last time I was in town. There were six pitchers that threw between the two teams. All six of them threw fastballs 95 and higher, up to 100 miles an hour. I'm going, have the pitchers really developed in throwing the ball that hard? And if they are really throwing it, where is it going to be 20 years from now?
Pitchers are throwing harder, especially in the bullpen, but the diagnostics are different. The diagnostics used to read the ball closer to home plate. They used to have a ray gun and a jugs gun. And now you get a release point. Like Kevin Gausman, you'll see 98 miles an hour to hand, 89 crossing home plate. You didn't throw 90 miles an hour then, okay?
Right.
Put you out in this gun, you're 95.
Mm-hmm.
So the diagnostics are more accurate. There's a lot more accurate data. But the guns particularly give you an extra 3 or 4 miles an hour. Even the scouts say as much. We had one of our scouts bring his old guns, and he had the new gun and the old gun.
Side by side.
So, yeah, you know that it's different.
Yeah.
I saw a playoff game where Randy Johnson was throwing 91 miles an hour in the playoff game, 92, 93. There's no way. I mean, Randy was consistently throwing as hard as anyone in the game has ever pitched.
By the way, Kevin Gausman just threw a 97 to strike out Maldonado, so that's out number two. And now here's the second baseman, Cowart. So Gausman with two down and a run in the second inning. Next pitch is outside for a ball. Well, these days, Brady, pitchers love to throw hard, and the hitters love to swing hard. A lot of strikeouts.
Yes.
A lot of velocity.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because the strike zone's different. And
How do you mean that?
When I played, and especially early on, it was, it was much more status-based. Roger Clemens gets certain pitches in Yankee Stadium that other guys don't get. Wade Boggs gets a certain strike zone that other people don't get. And generally, it was low and wide. Last night, Manny's home run right before that slider that they called a pitch on him for strike one, that never would have been called a strike 20 years ago. Conversely, a pitch 6 inches outside is not called a strike now.
So the game changes, and Kevin Gausman on a changeup just picked up another strike. So finally, Brady, I know you have to leave. Got to go over on television.
I don't have to leave.
Now.
You just want to talk more.
I think you're going on television, aren't you? So your prediction is the Orioles do make the playoffs.
Of course. That's why we're here, make the playoffs.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
I like that. Okay. Now you're on the hook. I like that. All right. So we head to the bottom. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you.
Great seeing you back in Baltimore. We head to the bottom of the second inning. It's Angels 2, Orioles 1 on the Orioles Radio Network. That's Joe Angel, Ben McDonald, and now with Cal Ripken Jr. back here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards as we go to inning number three. Hey, Cal, there's no doubt you're a winner. Already won the hot dog race.
Yeah, he even, you know, he just kind of took what was left over and he won it.
He's a winner. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, the Angels are top of the order. They got a 2-1 lead. So with Cal Ripken Jr., Cal, the weekend celebration, how's it going for you?
You know, I've never been someone that got really excited about reunions. Mm-hmm. I never thought you always want to keep the memory the way it was and then not come back. But I'm really glad that they got everybody together for this one. You know, it seemed like we all started talking in the warehouse during the luncheon, and Leo Gomez going back and forth with Ben and then Sutcliffe there and then Billy. It seemed like it just took us right back in the clubhouse like we were for all that time. So it was good seeing all the guys, and so I really enjoyed it.
Was there anybody here this weekend that you had not seen in about 20 years?
I hadn't seen Glenn Davis in that time, yeah. And so it was good seeing him. Mike Messina seems to have gone back home and never comes out of where he is, but it was really good to sit and talk to him. It was just everybody. Everybody was good to see, but those two guys I hadn't seen in a while.
His little ground ball to second base, scoped to his right, backhand stab, and then across the body throw to get the out. So one away in the third. Cal, were you tempted at all to get in the home run derby?
No.
No? Did they ask you?
They asked me indirectly. They knew I'd say no, so they they said, you wouldn't want to do that, would you? I go, no, I wouldn't.
So I'll ask you, why not?
Well... you had pride in what you did all those years. So you're going to tear it all down by going out there and try to swing a bat now?
Well, we were kind of picking on Brady a little bit because he was smart. You know, I saw him taking BP yesterday. He still wears a uni. You know, he agreed to do it, but with a little bit of practice. I have a feeling he practiced a little bit more than what Sam did and some of the others.
Well, it's impressive that he would actually hit in the simulated games a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, guys coming back, they're throwing 95 miles an hour and hadn't stood in the box in a while, and he would competitively – put on the at-bats and serve a purpose.
Well, here's Mike Trout, who sends a high fly ball to deep left center. And for the second time tonight, Mike Trout has hit one out. That one in the back bullpen. Mike Trout has homered twice tonight, and the Angels are ahead now 3-1. Wow.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, neither one of them cheap at all. First, when he gets a fastball at 96, center cut, and he hits it a long way. This one looked like a breaking ball, maybe some type of off-speed pitch that, again, is left in the center of the plate. And right now, for a guy that's missed 39 games this year, the numbers are really starting to add up for Mike Trout. Yeah, just a breaking ball, a cement mixer right down the middle of the plate, belt high, and Mike Trout right now is not missing those.
Well, he's got two home runs, and I think each of them has gone about 460. Now, Cal, last night, Manny Machado was the best player in the game. But how about Mike Trout? People say he might be the best player in the game. I mean, overall.
You mean overall? I mean, you'd like to take either one of them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Both of them are really young. I mean, you start to look at, I think Manny's, he's not 25 yet, is he?
I think he's 24. You're right, yeah.
So, I mean, all the things that both of them have done, they feel like they've been around a lot longer than they have. But, yeah, great players and a lot more great performances ahead.
There's a fly ball. Santander out there in right field makes the catch, and that's out number two. So Pujols is retired, and now here's Cole Calhoun.
Speaking of Pujols, you played, you know, obviously a long, long, long time like Pujols has. Obviously, everybody's skills start to diminish in certain ways as you go. What were some of the things that you started to do kind of like Pujols did to kind of make some adjustments? Maybe the bat speed wasn't quite as quick. Maybe the reaction time wasn't. What were some of the things, like offensively, like Pujols is having to do now? What were some of the things that you had to start to do a little bit to be successful?
Well, I think you have to be open-minded and be real to yourself, whether you can get out there and catch up to the pitch or not. You don't want to cheat if you're a hitter because just like trying to jump out there as a pitcher, your arm's going to drag. So you almost make it a little slower. But you do play with your hand positions a little bit to try to be a little quicker to the ball. Maybe you use less body than you did before. There are just some small adjustments. I remember Carl Yastrzemski. I played against Carl at the end of his career, and he was always finding some way to get himself to stay back. And so that's the real important part about when you get older. Try to figure out how can you stay back even though you don't feel you can be quick as you were.
Well, Cole Calhoun, a little ground ball to the hole. His scope is out there on that shift. Fields it, gets it to first base to complete the inning, and that is out number three. Cal, wish we had the entire game with you, but we don't.
No.
It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to see you, Cal. It's a great weekend at Oriole Park. 25th anniversary celebration. Cal Ripken Jr., a major part of that. In fact, Ben McDonald, as I speak, is taking a selfie. It'll be on Instagram. It'll be on Twitter.
I had to get it one with the Iron Man.
Yeah, you got to have one.
Got to have it.
What's your Twitter handle? What is that?
Real.
Real.
Ben McDonald.
Now, Cal, are you on Twitter?
No.
It's just like the Home Run Derby, right? All right, Cal, thank you.
All right.
What a great time. End of three at Camden Yards. Angels ahead here, 3-1 on the Orioles radio line. All right, we now go to the bottom of the fourth inning. Angels ahead 5-1. Here we go. Here come the Orioles. Joe Angel, Ben McDonald, and now my old broadcast partner is in the booth. Rick Sutcliffe is in the booth. Rick and I did a few games on ESPN. Rick, it's great to see you back in Baltimore.
I got to ask you something, Joe. I mean, and you need to be honest. Now, are you proud or ashamed of how I've turned out? You were my first real pitching coach.
I think I was, a long time ago.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not embarrassing you.
By the way, when you and I worked together at ESPN, I thought it was the beginning of my broadcast career. That's how Ben feels about you when you tutored him back.
Big Ben, after all we've been through, I mean, if he says something funny, you can laugh.
I can't stand it. Between you and Brady and Cal being up here, it's been a circus, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Trumbo hits ground ball to short. There's Simmons with the backhand, and then the long throw to get Trumbo, and that's out number one. Well, Sutcliffe came into the booth, and the first thing that Rick said to us was, Joe, let me tell you, that Ben McDonald, the less he speaks, the more I get a chance to speak.
Less of him means more of me.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
Now, you know, these people up here in Baltimore, I mean, do they understand his accent and the twang and y'all fixing and Washington? And
I got to kind of clean it up a little bit, so they're catching on.
I'm going to say something right now, Big Ben. I've had a chance to listen to you with the SEC and a lot of the college ESPN stuff. Outstanding, my friend.
I appreciate it.
I mean that.
I appreciate it. I enjoy doing it like you do, and I watch you all the time and pick up, and I'm sure you do the same thing, pick up little bits and pieces.
Absolutely.
From everybody, you know. And you know the challenge of this is trying to say the same thing over and over a different way, and that's always the challenge behind it.
Smith has ground ball to first base, sharply hit, but right there is Crone, and he'll take the out himself.
And being an ex-player, of course, you know this too, it always looks a little bit easier up here too, and sometimes you forget how difficult it was on that bump out there at times, you know, like the night Kevin Gausman's having tonight. You know, it's just the stuff's out over the plate, and we've all been there before, and he's just trying to figure out a way to get it on the corners, and it's a tough time, and really it's a helpless feeling sometimes when you know what to do, you know what you got to do, but sometimes physically you just can't do it.
All right, hey, Sut, now you can talk, Sut.
You know, I agree with everything he said. I mean, I'd like to see Kevin start using some of those secondary pitches a little bit more and being around the zone with them so that you can get away with the mistake with that fastball. It's still 95 and above, but, you know, if that's all you're showing them, they're going up there every at-bat looking for a mistake, and a lot of these guys have been getting it.
And they're hot, and they're not missing them right now. The Angels, you know, 13th best home run team in the league, but they don't look like it right now.
So here's Castillo. It's a line drive to center. The ball stays up, though.
So you guys
get Trout to make the catch.
Having an F inning like this?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a quick one, unfortunately, because the Orioles were batting.
See, when you want a long inning, you never get one.
That's right. Well, we can always bring him back. I mean, he's here. I mean, Brady's been back twice already.
You ask him.
Will you hang around a little bit longer, maybe three? You got three more outs in you?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Okay, so he will return as we head to the fifth, 5-1 Angels on the Orioles radio network. All right, here we go. Albert Pujols leads off in the fifth. Angels ahead 5-1, and Gausman's pitch is in there for a call strike.
Hey, fans, whether you're moving across the street or around the world, Von Paris has been the trusted name in moving for over 125 years. And now Von Paris has teamed up with the Junk Luggers to help you donate or dispose of unwanted items in an environmentally friendly way. Call Von Paris, the official mover of the Orioles, at 410-888-8500 or visit vonparis.com. Von Paris, always going the extra mile.
Kevin Gausman, 1-1 to Pujols as he delivers again. Albert, it's a shot toward right, beat the shift. Opposite field's got a base hit. Joe Angel, Ben McDonald, and Rick Sutcliffe here at Camden Yards. Rick, opening day, 1992. Any particular memories of that day?
You know what, Joe? I go back to mid-December when I flew in here to visit Johnny Oakes, who was really important in my career, a lot of our careers.
And Johnny walked me out to the mound, and he said, just him and I, he goes, I just want to tell you, he said, you're going to throw the first pitch ever in this ballpark. And, I mean, as you guys look at me, I mean, my hair's standing up right now. I get those goosebumps because I remember that moment. And I thought, I walked off the mound. I told my agent, I said, we're signing. We're gonna play for the Baltimore Orioles. And we got the deal done. We get to spring training. And I'm going to give you a moment to talk about this first pitch.
Now, there's the broadcaster.
That's right.
Calhoun takes the ball.
So, anyway, I, with like 10 days to go, I walked into Johnny's office and I said, you made a mistake. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I shouldn't be pitching opening day. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, Ben McDonald's better than me. And he goes, Mike Mussina's better than you, too. And I went, well, why am I pitching opening day? The pitch.
And it's a ball.
And he goes, because this is my thought. He says, you can hold your own against everybody else's number one. He says, I don't want them dealing with the pressure and all the media, all of the stuff that goes into that first game. I want them to start game 3 and 4 against everybody else's 3 and 4. And you take a look, that's how we're going to get over 500, and that's how we're going to be contenders. Johnny Oates was exactly right.
And Calhoun takes low, ball 3. He's a smart guy, wasn't he? Nice man, great pro, very thoughtful, intelligent. The kind of guy you love to play for, don't you?
That's right.
And I tell you what, Ben, we know we love that team. We know how close we were. We know what a great time we've had being here. But that team played harder than any team I ever played on. That, in my mind, that team overachieved a lot to be where they were. I mean, we were a game out or a game up from Toronto in September.
Yeah.
And they ran off because they made some acquisitions at the deadline that we weren't able to match. But that team left everything on the field every night.
It did. I mean, it didn't seem like who was pitching, but it was a gritty bunch, a bunch that would get after you every night. And that was so much fun. But it was a team set that knew how to win, too. It could do the little things to win ball games. Sometimes you don't see a lot of that going on in today's game. It's turned into, for me, a little bit selfish at times, but that team, just talking to Joe Orsolak the other, he hit 290 that season, 289, but he said, Ben, I grounded out 20 times to second base because I had a runner at second base with nobody out, and I knew to win a ball game, I had to hit a ground ball to the right side to move that guy to third base and have him there with less than two out, and that was the kind of unselfish teammates that we had.
And Joe, a lot like what you see all the time now the last couple of years, we had that shutdown kind of bullpen. Too.
Yes, absolutely.
Give us that lead in the seventh inning.
Calhoun, it's a shot foul just outside the bag at first.
Give us that lead in the seventh inning, and Johnny Oates knew how to match up, whether it was Jim Pohl or Williamson or Froworth or whatever it was. He knew how to match that up, getting that lead to Greg Olson, and then forget about it. It was over with Otter.
Well, Angels at 5-1. We're in the fifth. Angels got a runner at first base, Pujols. Calhoun with a count of 3 balls and 2 strikes against Kevin Gausman, who has struggled tonight, but hanging in there.
How about a changeup now, Benny?
He's got a good one, too. And I tell you what, he throws two different changeups. One's just kind of a get-me-over, then more of a split-finger-type changeup as well. Both of them have a lot of movement to them.
Well, let's see. And there it is.
Yep.
But he missed outside. So had the right idea.
Yeah, and that's been the difference for him right there. That pitch has been a pitch he's commanded really well the last 6 weeks. Kevin Gausman's pitched to a 1.8 ERA the last 6 starts going into the start. But tonight, just the command hasn't been there consistently enough for him.
And guess what? Buck is coming out.
Well, the pitch count's gotten high, and he's clearly struggling, you know, tonight. And the Orioles got to find a way to draw a line in the dirt, if you will, not give up any more runs, because certainly the offense is good enough with enough baseball left to come back from this.
And Ben McDonald, Rick Sutcliffe, Miguel Castro comes on to pitch. And, Ben, this guy's done a real good job out of the bullpen.
No, he's been really good, and the stuff is explosive. Big, tall, arm works fast. You'll see a fastball, you know, from the mid-90s and even higher. And he's shown you a really good breaking ball as of late as well.
He'll go to work on Andrelton Simmons. And the pitch is there's a breaking ball for a call strike. First pitch breaking ball.
That changes everything. You can get away with a mistake with that fastball now. They're going to stay back, respecting the fact that you can throw it for a strike. I might throw another breaking ball now to see if I could get him to chase. If I don't do that, I bring a heater in on his hands.
Well, let's see. Heater in on the hands. Line drive to short. Beckham catches it and then throws the ball into right field, trying to get that double play. And so Santander gets it back in, and Pujols winds up at third. Well, he got the fastball in.
Got it in. Got
almost got the double play.
Got the ball. You wanted Beckham did a nice play, making the play, but then the throw over to the scope to double up Pujols just threw it towards the center field side, and just a throw that if he had to do it over again would do it differently. It's a play that probably should have been made.
You know, I I can tell you that's why Tampa gave up on him as a shortstop. I mean, that's not a hard throw. I mean,
right.
Ben, you're right. He made a great play. I mean, that play has got to be made. That's a double play. Instead of first and third and one out, you got two outs and a man on first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a play. And the only chance this kid has is J.J. Hardy.
Yeah.
J.J. Hardy can slow him down a little bit and let him know that you got a little more time than what he took right there on that throw. And he's got a chance to be a star in this league.
Yeah, you could tell the internal clock right there. He was just moving a little bit too fast right there, not knowing Pujols, who, you know, obviously toward the end of his career doesn't move like he used to move. He had a lot more time to get him out.
I'll tell you guys, if you come out to the ballpark early, you will see J.J. Hardy
working
with Beckham and helping him.
Yep, yep. And that's going to go a long way because fundamentally, J.J. Hardy, there's no one better.
So Valbuena now with the count of 0-1, first and third. One out. Next pitch, a little bit low. And, Rick, that tells you something about a player, a veteran like J.J. Hardy, that he's willing to go out there and help a guy who's maybe going to take his job.
Yeah.
Well, Buck Showalter has talked about forever. I mean, there's only one reason Manny Machado's not been the shortstop here for the last 4 or 5 years. It's those intangibles, Joe, that you mentioned.
The 1-1 delivery is upstairs. Well, J.J. is working his way back. Maybe in September. That'd be good to see. He's having a birthday today, by the way.
Is that right?
J.J.'s birthday. I think 35 years old today. Yeah, before the game today, he's out there working with Beckham on the footwork. You're right, it's all about that internal clock. The 2-1 delivery is at the knees. That's a call strike.
You know, Joe, you might have seen that, but, you know, Ben and I, we were reminiscing with all the old guys. You know, we had a great job yesterday emceeing that luncheon. Are you as funny during a radio telecast as you are there?
Never.
The story about you playing quarterback. I mean, that's a classic. If people out there have not heard that, they gotta find a way to hire you or bring you in for a charity event. I know you do a lot of that.
You mean the fact that O.J. Simpson was my running back in high school?
That's right.
Is that what you're
That's what
about?
I asked him during the game. I said, how are you and O.J. Simpson and Al Cowling on the same team, yeah, and y'all lose how many games in a row?
21 games
That's
in a row.
That's hard to do.
There's a pitch. It's low and outside, ball four. So now the Angels got the bases loaded. Hey, it's not easy being a quarterback with O.J. Simpson as your running back.
Did you hand it off a few times?
Now, why would you ask me that? Well, you know that.
I get the story. Impression you didn't get to throw it as much as you wanted to.
I told the story at the luncheon. You know the yearbook every year? Mm-hmm. They put your picture in the yearbook, and underneath the picture it says, most likely to succeed,
yeah,
most likely to become president, most likely to become rich. With me, they had Joe Angel, most likely to hand off. And I was good at it, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like I played a major role in the man that O.J. turned out to
That's
be.
That's right. There you go.
Well, Benny, you know this better than me. I mean, your mentality has to be, I'm one good pitch from getting out of this.
Yep.
That's right.
I made a couple of good ones, yeah. Give Valbuena credit for another really good at-bat, but you got a guy up here that plays first. You're not the fastest guy in the world. Get a ground ball.
And C.J. Cron, breaking ball, he waved at it, and he missed.
That was always a thought. Get a ground ball, and if I did get you in this situation, 0-2, then I tried to strike you out in this situation. It was a couple of pitches were mine to get you.
And you hear what he's saying? All those young pitchers out there right now, take note of what Ben McDonald just said. You don't start thinking about a strikeout until you get two strikes. That's not even in your mind. You want to get an out on every pitch you throw.
Well, he's got two strikes here. He delivers. He's got a strikeout. Breaking ball, swing, and a miss.
I got to tell one quick story on Ben McDonald.
Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, God.
So my last start before opening day here at Camden Yard, it's against Toronto, and it's in Dunedin. And Jack Morris was on the mound. And you weren't there, Benny, but two outs, nobody on. Cal comes up, and he drills him. And I'm like, really? And so I go out in the first inning, and I drill the first two guys, right? And I pitched the rest of a couple of games like that. But as I walked off after the fifth inning, and that was all Johnny wanted from me, I went right to Jack Morris. I said, you touch him one more time, and it won't be me drilling your guy. I won't have Ben McDonald.
Maldonado takes the ball. Now, yeah, go ahead. Yes,
well, I was topping in. I mean, if I touched 90, it was a good day with the wind blowing in. You know, Ben's going to throw 100. And I mean, I'm telling you what, you go back and look. Toronto did not touch Cal the rest of that year. They knew that we meant business.
Well, there's a rumor going around, as Maldonado popped it up here back in the lower deck. There's a rumor going around that Rick Sutcliffe at one time, was it Ben, weren't you paid at one time to hit somebody?
I remember one time back when Frank Thomas came to play, and Rick didn't say hit him. Rick just wanted me, because Frank, none of us could get Frank out. And we were right here at this ballpark, and he said, Big Ben, I'm pitching tomorrow, you're pitching tonight. He said, listen, just move Frank's feet. Just move him off. He's too comfortable in the box. But you set him up tonight and just move him around a little bit. Maybe I got a chance of getting him out tomorrow. Well, it worked out to where I threw a ball because Frank stood on the plate. He dove across the plate a little bit.
Sure,
and I pitched against Frank in college, too. And Sut.
Joe, I'm telling you right now, I told Ben, basically, keep throwing at him. I mean, just keep moving him. Because my plan was if Ben hit him and he couldn't play the next day, then I had a chance to win.
And, you know, I hit him in his big old thigh. I didn't try to hit him. He just didn't move. And look, he limped down the first. He ended up not play. Came out of the game. He didn't play tomorrow. And Sut said, that's it. I'm buying you dinner tomorrow night.
So that was the payoff. There's a high fly ball. Maldonado hits one way back in left center. Backing up is Smith. He's going to jump up at the wall and makes the catch.
I don't think he jumped as high as Ben McDonald did just then. We still got a ball game of that ball staying in Camden Yard.
Well, they came within maybe a foot of being a grand slam. Instead, it's the third out. Inning is over.
Thank you, guys.
And Rick Sutcliffe, man, what a blast. Thank you so much.
You're the best.
Great to have you back in Baltimore.
Thank you, JoJo. Benny, you know, brother.
Love
There's
you, dude.
A couple of good right-handers right there, Ben McDonald and Rick Sutcliffe. Well, we head to the bottom of the fifth. 5-1 Angels on the Orioles Radio Network.